in the papers, back to the papers, you might have read this morning that a house in Carlow had been abandoned and was home to 100 killer spiders. This story came from Louise Walsh and Alan Selby in the Irish Daily Mirror this morning. And while that headline is not particularly accurate, I suppose, there are a few things about the story that gave us and will indeed give us good reason to be worried. Kevin Cunningham is from the National Exotic Animal Sanctuary. Good morning to you, Kevin.
Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
I'm good. It's nice to have you with us this morning.
Thank you very much.
What is the why is this is the headline not not 100% accurate?
Well, I suppose to start, there were probably about 100 spiders and scorpions and giant centipedes and lizards in the house. But just to clarify, they were not all killer spiders.
Ah, so come on, Kevin, don't wreck our fun.
Now, don't get me wrong.
That's a fun headline.
There were some there. Obviously, the majority of them would have been tarantulas and stuff, which a lot of people would be very, very worried about. There were a few there that would have worried even me. We did discover a funnel web spider, which most people would be familiar with.
There, I'm not.
Funnel web spiders come from Australia.
Oh.
The funnel webs are a very dangerous family of spiders and would be classed as one of the most potentially lethal spiders in the world. So we did find one of them, which was a bit of a scare. We found a number of African brown widow spiders, which would be direct cousins of the black widow spider. Again, people would be very familiar with. And what we didn't find, which was the original call in the first place,
yeah,
we had been sent a photograph of a black widow spider in this house taken a month beforehand. When we went down, we actually didn't find the black widow spider. There were a lot of empty tubs and tubs that had fallen over that animals had gotten out of. There was a lot of dead spiders in the room, but we didn't actually find the black widow. So we're hoping that it died a natural death and that was the end of it.
The black widow is stalking the country.
Well, I mean, black widows, you know, they wouldn't live a long period of time. Most of the spiders that we found were in very poor condition. So
okay.
I don't actually think that there's a black widow stalking.
Damn, that's for like Halloween around the corner.
Sorry to pour water on that one.
I'm trying to exaggerate this story greatly, Kevin. You're not helping at all.
What I know, but somebody has to be rational in these things.
No, I understand. How many eggs will a black widow lay at in one sitting?
Spiders, depending on the species and the type of widow, for instance, I think there's 30 or 35 different types of widow, four or five black widows. You could be looking at anything from a small amount to a reasonably large amount. Even with common house spiders, you'll see sometimes them laying 100 or 120, and you'll quite often see in your own home where you have a spider's web, and then there'll be literally loads and loads of little babies everywhere. There were two brown widow spiders in the house that actually were sitting with, like, guarding egg sacs. So the chap that had them was actively trying to breed them. And the tarantulas, there was about 35 baby tarantulas that he had successfully bred. So he was trying to breed the spiders.
With a view to doing what, I wonder?
It's something we're seeing a lot more of. People are keeping more and more unusual and exotic animals, and then as they realise that there's a market for them, because obviously they're purchasing them and they're finding them hard to purchase in Ireland, you can only really get them online. So they're obviously thinking there's a market in this. Quite often you see people who keep reptiles or spiders or anything like that. They keep a certain number, their collection grows, and then they start to breed, and then they start to sell. And then you have a situation where you're not only importing them, but you're actually having people breeding them in Ireland. And we're seeing more and more of that with unusual species nowadays. People breeding things like raccoons, Cote Mundis. There were breeding pairs of dingoes for sale in Ireland there about 4 or 5 months
dingoes.
Ago. Dingoes. They had come from a zoo in England, and someone had bought 3 pairs of dingoes and was selling them as breeding pairs. So people are
how
sort
do you
of,
get a dingo into the country?
Technically, a dingo is classed as a dog, and so in the same way as you can bring a dog over on the ferry, you can drive over with a van with dingoes. The law is very loose in Ireland with regard to the keeping of these kind of animals, probably because nobody ever anticipated that somebody was going to be keeping large quantities of tarantulas or keeping monkeys or keeping raccoons or, you know, those kind of animals. And so we just didn't ever put legislation in place.
Is there anyone in Ireland living with a monkey?
There are quite a few people in Ireland living with monkeys.
And is that legitimate?
It is...
Or legal.
Legitimate. It is legitimate for them to have a monkey in Ireland. It is not necessarily legitimate for them to bring a monkey into Ireland.
So it's possibly illegal to smuggle a monkey into the country, but it's not... Once he got it here, he's quite entitled to be a citizen...
With endangered species,
yeah.
So you know, like the really obvious endangered species, which would cover most of the primates and monkeys as well, you need paperwork to bring them into the country. They obviously have to have some form of registration from their point of origin.
Yeah.
But again, what happens is in the particularly in the 90s, there were a lot of people keeping monkeys in Ireland, and they started to breed them.
So in their houses.
There were people, I even remember growing up in Clontarf. I know there were people in Clontarf keeping monkeys in back gardens in cages.
Would they not make a... I mean, are there people listening in this morning whose neighbours have monkeys in cages out the back?
I would certainly be aware of about 20 pet monkeys in private houses off the top of my head.
That is extraordinary.
You know, so, I mean, it is, but it's not something necessarily, you see, that people go out and shout about. If you have something unusual, for instance, we have a raccoon that climbed into somebody's car in Tipperary. A raccoon is capable of doing quite a bit of damage to you if it's cornered. He's not the friendliest animal in the world at the best of times.
Yeah.
And if you lose something like that, you're not going to knock on your neighbour's door and go, listen, I've lost an animal that's quite likely to bite you if you find it. So will you keep your eye out? We quite often get calls to houses where snakes appear, particularly in the summer. Recently, there was one in Dublin where a snake came through the floorboards in somebody's bathroom.
Aye, aye, aye.
Obviously, it had been in another house in the terrace and it had gotten out. But again, would you knock on your neighbour's door and say, I've lost a 6-foot snake. If you happen to see it, will you give me a shout? So people tend to keep these things quiet. And then they escape, and then they're found, and they're never traced, you know?
So, in your role as, the man with the National Exotic Animal Sanctuary, would you be disturbed or concerned if... I'm sorry for going on about monkeys, but I have a thing about them. Would you be concerned or upset if people had monkeys in the way that somebody else would have a dog?
I would. I don't think realistically that anybody can keep a monkey as a pet, to be honest, and keep it adequately. They're not an animal that's been domesticated in the way a dog would. You know, I mean, obviously dogs have been kept for tens of thousands of years by humans, but monkeys are very different. And you quite often see the likes of American TV programs where people have these baby capuchins, as they call them, capuchin monkeys,
yeah.
And they have little nappies, and they're adorable. But you never, very, very rarely see somebody with one of these monkeys at 4 or 5 years of age because they're starting to become sexually mature, they're starting to get aggressive.
Yeah.
And if you go to America, you will see hundreds of exotic animal sanctuaries filled with these animals when they reach maturity. So they're no longer a tiny little helpless baby. They're an animal with 2-inch canine teeth that likes to jump and bite and... you know, squabble with its family mates, which is how they run their social structure. And it's not really a fair environment for them. Also, keeping them in a small cage in a suburban environment or something, which is the inevitability. They're cute when they're running around the house and they're tiny, but eventually it wears down on you. They start to bite people. They start to escape. You put it in a cage. And they're really, really smart animals. They need to be kept occupied all of the time.
Did you ever see Project Nim? That film where they about the I think it was a chimpanzee that they tried to humanize a little bit, and then as you say, he got older, became kind of sexually aware as opposed to active because he didn't have a mate, and it just was pretty an ugly scene, and ended up in one of those sanctuaries, which was pretty horrific.
Well, that's what happens. I mean, most famously, Bubbles of Michael Jackson fame.
What happened to him?
He ended up in a sanctuary as well because you can't control an adult chimp as a member of your family. I mean, technically, a baby chimp will hug and cuddle you. An adult chimp would quite literally rip your arm off. I mean, they're incredibly strong, which is why places like zoos and safari parks have so many protocols in place with regard to these animals, and they're professionals dealing with them. And you're very rarely going to see a zookeeper walking into a group of chimpanzees and hugging it or asking it, does it want to sit at the table and eat dinner? You know,
do you have
they're not an animal.
What have you got in the sanctuary at the moment? What's happening, animals-wise?
Animals-wise, we have far too many. Animals, the biggest issue that we have currently is and it's become a very big thing in the last 10 or 15 years, is turtles and terrapins in Ireland. We've over 300 turtles and terrapins in, 50% of which have been found in the waterways of Ireland, where people have bought them as little 2 euro coin-sized turtles. Yeah. They're very cute. They grow to the size of a dinner plate. They decide they can't keep them anymore. They're not going to buy a bigger tank that's going to cost them 400 or 500 euro. And they think that they're doing good, and they're putting them out into rivers and canals where they're doing massive damage to the environment. They're also not doing that well out there. And then people are finding them and ringing us. We have also, on the subject of turtles, we have a snapper turtle.
What's that?
That was found on the side of the canal and picked up by a 5-year-old girl one morning who thought it was a tortoise.
And what is a snapper turtle? Sounds bad
snapper
now
turtle,
already.
Snapper turtle, by its very name, has a very sharp beak. She's only quite young. She weighs about 6 kilos, I think, at the moment. And she can extend her neck about a foot in 0.5 of a second, and she would crack your fingers literally clean off. And I didn't even know we had any in Ireland.
Wow.
And this one was found at the canal. As I said, a little girl picked it up. Fortunately, it was a cold morning. And because it's a cold-blooded animal, it wasn't reactive in the way it would have been if it had been a sunny day. And she was very lucky not to lose her fingers.
What else have we got?
We have the raccoon that just climbed into the car.
The narky raccoon.
Who has bitten me. And I can tell you, they definitely bite quite severely. We have a llama that was found as a stray a couple of months ago.
A stray llama.
And you get unusual calls on my phone, I can tell you. We have emu. We have an entire reptile house full of snakes and lizards of varying sizes, tortoises.
Where did you find the emu?
The emu was surrendered by somebody who had bought her as a pet and could no longer keep her.
Come on. Is this a joke? I mean,
no, quite honestly.
This is like Veruca Salt. Daddy, I want an emu and I want it now. I mean, who gets an emu for a present?
Well, I mean, you know, there have been very many famous things like that. There was a famous lynx in County Louth. He's dead now. He lived to be 15 or 16, but he was bought for a 10-year-old's birthday. Now, a lynx is bigger than, he's about the size of a Great Dane. He's a big cat and was bought for a 10-year-old's birthday. And within about 15 minutes of bringing it home, they realised they'd made a dreadful mistake.
So are you getting the detritus, if you like, of the Celtic tiger stupidity where people were buying, you know, bonkers creatures for as pets, snakes?
Absolutely.
Is that really what's happening here and people suddenly can't afford
them?
That
is what happened. And also because so many people sort of late 20s, early 30s, were moving into apartments. They weren't allowed to have pets. And the obvious pet you can keep, you can't keep a dog because your landlord's going to find out, or a cat, is you can have a tank with a 10-foot boa constrictor in it. It doesn't make any noise. It's sitting in the living room. And, it's sitting in the living room. It doesn't need to be walked. It doesn't need any exercise. So they were keeping these kinds of animals. And we get a lot of calls now from people who are emigrating and who obviously have these pets. And then equally, we have a lot of calls from people who are moving home and their parents are happy to take them back, but they are not taking the boa constrictor. They're not taking the lizards. They're not taking the tarantulas. And we certainly would have a list of probably about 300 or 400 reptiles due to come in if we had space.
Due to come in. Stay on the line because Brendan's there. How are you, Brendan?
How are you doing?
How are you getting on? You were in Wicklow last week. What happened to you?
Driving out along by the beehive.
Yeah, no.
What I thought was a stick actually on the road ended up was a snake. And unfortunately, I ran over it.
And did you feel a crunch under your... What were you driving?
A lorry.
And did you feel a crunch under the lorry?
No, I didn't feel a thing. I just sort of copped there at the last minute. I just thought to myself, geez, that was a snake. And I actually stopped and went back and had a look.
Did you pick it up?
I was dead. It was like...
Did you crush it down the middle?
Yeah.
Okay, so it was like a stick, like a typical snake, but then your tire print went over it, so it went flat in that bit.
More or less.
Okay, was it mush or was it kind of intact?
No, it was all intact.
Okay, bar the fact it was dead. Can you describe it to us, the poor thing? Oh, he's gone. Damn. I was dying to know what it was. About a foot long with gold. I mean, I shouldn't be laughing. Kevin, obviously that was a tragic end for the snake. But again, random snake on the streets of Wicklow.
Snakes can escape very easily, Ryan. Because of the way they're built, there's no obvious limbs to get in the way. The tiniest crack in a vivarium or the tiniest gap in the lid and they will be out.
Yeah.
And there are so many of them. There are so many people keeping, you know, even, I bet even if you ask your own kids, amongst their own friends, there will be people with corn snakes and rat snakes and bearded dragons, and they've become really, really commonplace.
Someone says, I saw a Cotamundi. Is that an animal?
Cotamundi, yeah.
What is that? On Pier Street?
Yeah, probably being walked on a lead. I've heard about that one. The Coatimundis are a South American mammal. They're about the size of a raccoon. The only difference is they would have the same kind of colouring, but they have a long nose. And it's almost not quite prehensile, but they can really move the nose around and forage in holes and stuff to get food. They're a very intelligent animal. Like raccoons, they've become very popular as pets. It doesn't last very long. People get them for a number of years, but with a few exceptions, they are an animal with quite significant teeth. They're an animal that would roam the jungles of South America and probably do 6 or 7 square miles a night.
Right.
So keeping one of them in a house is probably not particularly fair on the animal in terms of keeping it active and enrichment and everything, you know. But again, an animal that... You kind of have to ask how we're getting South American mammals as pets that I know people are walking them on leads around Dublin and stuff. How we're getting them into the country with no obvious control. There are now raccoons who have escaped in Cork, in County Cork, and are being classed as an invasive species because they're capable of breeding. Like, there is a bigger picture to what happens with these animals as they escape. If even only 10% of them survive, then we're completely changing the entire environmental picture in Ireland. For instance, with the terrapins. Terrapins eat both plants and animal matter, and if you put a terrapin into a pond full of fish, it will clear them all out very quickly. So if we're releasing all of them into the waterways and the lakes and the rivers, then what damage are we doing? The other side of that with the terrapins is quite a lot of the time they carry salmonella because they live in tanks full of their own dirt, and it's a warm water tank, and they're fed predominantly on fish. So they're not the cleanest animals in the world, and then these are being released into the waterways. Well, you know, so it's not a good picture unless we kind of rein it in a little bit and get sensible, you know?
To say the least, Kevin, it's been quite a revelation now having you on the programme this morning. So thank you so much for your time and for such clarity in delivery.
No problem at all.
Appreciate it. And good luck with your endeavours. You obviously need a bit of luck and probably a bit of funding too by the sounds of it.
Well, we are a charity, and we're always reliant, like everybody else, on charitable donations and stuff like that. And if people want to go to our website, we actually have an open day this Sunday if people wanted to come down and see some of the animals. And
where are you? I'd say a lot of people would like to see your animals.
We're in Bolivar in County Meath.
Okay.
We have a very nice little sanctuary down here. It's very quiet and peaceful for the animals, and we have open days maybe 10 or 12 times a year.
Yeah.
So if people want to go onto the website, or they'll find us on Facebook either.
Okay, good luck with everything, Kevin. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It's Kevin Cunningham there from the National Exotic Animal Sanctuary. Well, that I didn't know. Places overrun with monkeys and terrapins and turtles and all sorts of exotic snakes and lizards and... It's all news to me now, I have to say. Claire, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Are you well today?
We're great.
Snakes alive. What happened?
My husband went to buy a motorbike helmet.
Yeah.
In obviously a motorbike shop, and went in, and the helmet was new in stock.
Mm-hmm.
So he opened the box and was taking the helmet out of the box. And you know the clip that goes underneath your chin?
I do.
Went to open it, and as he was opening it, there was something orange inside it, and it turned out to be a snake.
Ah, come on. Did he put it on his head or what?
No.
Oh, thank
he
God.
Swiftly dropped it and swiftly left the shop.
So did the snake come across on in a cargo ship somewhere from where?
We never went back into the shop again after that. But yeah, we reckon, we rang afterwards to see... what the story was, and the fella in the shop had said that the helmets come in from China and he didn't know whether it has come in transit, but he had just rang his local pet store or whatever to see what he'd do or get advice on it. But yeah, a lovely orange snake.
I wonder, it must have got in. But yeah, I don't know if you heard Kevin earlier on, the amount of wild and exotic animals
we
have.
It's amazing.
It really isn't it? So you never went back. Do snakes, you know, for me it's rats. I'm not that freaks me out, but I'd be all right with snakes. How about you?
No, I'd hate snakes. Absolutely hate them. Well, they're fine when they're still, but the minute they go to move.
Your nerves are gone.
I don't like them.
Yeah. You should see Baz's mammy, Nancy. There was a scene with snakes when they were in...
I actually saw him on The Late Late Show last week on Friday.
He's nice, isn't he? They're nice.
He's lovely. His mother is lovely
the
woman,
mother,
isn't
she? She's a gas ticket.
And she's a real Irish mammy.
If you think I'm going to taser gun you, Baz. She's so funny. It's a good old show. Yeah, I'm glad you like that. Okay, so that's it. Snake in the helmet, but all sorted out.
Yes, exactly. And no more bikes anymore.
No more bikes, too. Hey, listen, have a great day, Claire.
Thanks a million.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye. Bye-bye.
And over to you, Fiona.
Hiya. How are you?
How are you? What part of the world are you in?
I'm living in Leash.
In Leash. And there you were one day when what happened?
Well, I had a snake and I had him for about 3 months. And I woke up one morning.
Pet snake?
Yeah, pet snake.
Called what?
Charlie.
And what sort of a snake was Charlie?
He was a corn snake.
So describe him in length and colour, please.
I'd say he was about a foot and a half long. Whoa. And he was orange with like kind of black specks on him.
So where did you get him?
I got him in the pet shop.
And how much did he cost?
I think it was €90.
€90. And what do you feed him when he gets hungry?
Mice. Frozen mice. Well, you defrost them and then give them to him.
How do you defrost frozen mice?
Take it out of the freezer and defrost.
Oh, you don't put it in the microwave or anything like that, do you?
God, no.
Where did they get the frozen mice?
I don't know. Didn't ask them that. Didn't want to know.
Are they imported or are they Irish frozen mice?
I say they probably breed them.
Oh, breed bread for the purpose of, like, we put chicken in a coop for our dinner, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, snakes, exactly.
A snake's got to eat.
Exactly.
As the snake world say in New York. So you had Charlie the snake, and what happened?
I had him in the tank in my bedroom and I woke up one morning checking him.
In your bedroom?
I wasn't there. Yeah, in my bedroom.
Did that not smell?
No, not really. Like, I looked after him real well. I cleaned out the tank and all that, so.
Okay, come on. Do you share your bedroom with anyone other than the snake?
Well, I was with my partner at the time.
At the time. So you were both into that sort of thing, were you?
Yeah, yeah.
Good, very good. So anyway, you were asleep one day and then?
Yeah, and I woke up next morning to check and he was gone. So I pulled up the skins in the bedroom and I'll see if he kind of went under them. It wasn't there, so checked the hot press and all. You know, all the warm places in the house wasn't there. So couldn't find him, so forgot about him and told my neighbours, like, listen, me snake escaped. Like, if you see him, like, knock on my door and let me know.
Yeah.
So 6 months later, anyways, remember we had that really bad smell a couple of years ago?
I do indeed. I'll never forget it.
Yeah, well, I was putting my weedy bin out and I saw this thing on the weedy bin. I was like, what is that? And it was Charlie.
You're choking. After how long? How long?
6 months.
6 months had elapsed.
Yeah, 6 months had gone by and he was out in the snow. And then he was rough looking. He was sick and everything. So I took him back in, put him into the tank. And eventually I got him back to good health and all that. So, but I had to give him away in the end because he was living wild for so long and he got really vicious. And they say he started, because he was in my bedroom, he was lining himself up along the tank. And apparently that's a sign to see if they can eat you.
Eat you, the person?
Yeah, like they line themselves up to see if you're like small enough to fit.
They're measuring you up for the coffin, basically.
Oh, exactly. So that kind of...
Could Charlie have bitten and hurt you? Or was he one of those benign snakes or what?
Well, no, he did. He was starting to bite. You know, when I was putting the mice into the tank and all that, like, he'd start kind of jumping up at me hands and stuff like that.
And would that hurt? Would you get...
He'd draw blood now, yeah. He had no venom or anything like that, so, like, it wouldn't be serious. But, it hurt, so I had to end up giving him away.
But how did the snake... How did Charlie stay in the zone and be so close to you?
Do you know what I think it was? I had a big, huge, like I had a big 7-foot fish tank in the sitting room and I had sold it a day or two before.
Yeah.
So I think he was living under that. And when I was selling it, he must have like slithered out without me noticing.
Slithered out?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. So do you have any snakes at all now?
No, I did have a lizard as well.
Yeah, what was his name?
I can't remember his name. I actually don't think I gave him a name.
Just the lizard.
Yeah, just a lizard. It was my sister actually found the lizard in her garden and she knows I like that sort of stuff, so I kept him. I never even found out what kind of lizard it was.
How do you discover that you like that kind of thing, like reptiles and keeping them, snakes, lizards and so on? Were you a child when you kind of went, I'd love that or I like those? Or?
Yeah, I've always been into it. And I've moved back in with my ma there nearly 2 years ago and I'm trying to get her to let me get a pet tarantula, but she's not having it.
Well, there's a shock. You love all that stuff. And why did you move back in with your mum?
Me and himself broke up. So
okay.
I moved back in.
So you had to move back. He stays in the house and you go back to your mum.
Yeah.
Okay, and how's that all going for you, back with the man?
Oh, great. Couldn't be better.
Is that serious or sarcastic?
No. Mammy's cooking. Nothing like it.
See, that's it really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are you making a contribution or are you just acting the maggot?
Oh, no. Making a contribution.
Are you? Do you work?
I do, yeah.
What do you work at?
I'm a healthcare assistant.
Oh, good on you. And in Leash?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, I've enjoyed talking to you.
You too.
Do you not have any Disney impressions for me, no?
I don't, no.
Can we get up to Donald Duck or...
No.
Or Lenny the Lizard. Just made him up. Okay, well, we'll get somebody else to do it for us. Listen, Fiona, you look after yourself and tell your mum I said hi.
All right, will do.
See you soon. Thanks for your story.
All right. No problem. Bye.
Bye.